Be seated. Oh, you already are. Thank you. Let's pray again. Father, I just thank you that we have this opportunity now to go through your word together. I thank you for what you've put on my heart, what you've led me through. I thank you for the blessing that it was to me. And I just ask that each and every one is blessed through your word this morning, that they can leave with encouragement, that they can leave with a joy that comes from you. And I thank you that you were so willing to send your son, that he would come and bring us redemption, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles, through his death and resurrection for all people when they believe in the name of Jesus Christ. So I just ask again that we would comprehend and be able to grasp, that your spirit would that we would be able to comprehend, and that your spirit would open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to your truths now, and that we would hold on to them and not forget them in our time of trial. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans, we had Romans last week as well, and then I went to Genesis, and I am going to go to Genesis again, but Romans 5, 2, and 3, I would like to read that before we go any further. Again, I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and if you have your Bibles, let's open together. So Romans 5, I'm going to read 1 as well, so 1, 2, and 3, and 4. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I think it'd be good to just go over a little bit of a review from the last few weeks to get us up to date so that we can enjoy the joy that we have in the Lord. So we talked about hope. The first Advent, when we first started lighting the candle, we talked about hope. And we hope because our hope is not of this world. It is out of this world. It is a heavenly hope. Our hope is in the one that came to redeem us who are lost. Our hope is knowing and believing and holding fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, Hebrews 10:23. Hope gives us a confidence that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, which we just read in Romans 5:1. All humanity was plunged into sin through one man, we know, Adam, and death of sin spread to all men, and all have sinned, Romans 5:12. But we are no longer hopeless, and the Advent reminds us of the hope within the heavenly, and we wait with anticipation. Like what Esther brought up, the second coming. Like Israel, though, they waited for their coming Messiah, who was Christ, to be born. Our hope has come. And our hope is coming again to take us home in glory. So we have no need to hide our sin from God, because we know that he sees all our sin, just like he saw Adam and Eve in the garden when they tried to cover themselves with those fig leaves, and then he covered them. So hope was the first candle that we lit. And it's hope in God. And now, and then the second was peace. Jesus is our peace with God. For he himself is our peace, Ephesians 2:14, just the beginning. Adam and Eve were to hope in the seed that was to come and crush Satan. And now we who believe the Bible and believed in Christ see the seed who is being Christ, the Son of God, Jesus, who come in the fullness of God. And Mary gave birth to the Son of God, her firstborn son, and like we talked about, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Our way to peace is through Christ. John 14:23. Adam and Eve's covering, was a picture of something greater. And all who find peace in God will find the need for Christmas, because it is a reminder of the free gift of righteousness through Christ. Our free gift is peace with God through Christ's birth, his death, and his resurrection. And now we've come to the third lighting of the candle. Joy. And all these I put why for each one as well. And now we have why joy. Without the hope of God, we have no peace with God. And without peace of God, we have no hope with God. And without hope and peace, we will not take hold of God's joy that is found in him through his Son. Not only is joy found in him, but our joy comes from him. I want you to remember that as we go through this. Not only is our joy found in him, but our joy comes from him. We're going to go to Genesis 4. And I started doing a little study with genealogies. I said to Ray and Donna the other day too, I was going through this a bit. And I really got into it. I'm going to just do a brief with it. But something I want to say before I start is a quote. Actually, Rachel just gave it to me before we started. And it was by John MacArthur. Human pride loathes the suggestion that God orders everything, controls everything, rules over everything. The carnal mind, burning with enmity against God, abhors the biblical teaching that nothing comes to pass except according to his eternal decrees. That was John MacArthur. So God knows, and we have a belief in God that Christ come for a purpose, and it was the glory of God for him to come and die and for God to crush him, but to raise him up. So it's a joy and a confidence that we have, and a peace with God, and a hope with God. So Genesis 4, Cain and Abel. I'm sure we know the story. We talked a little bit about it before. But Cain and Abel Cain and Abel come from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, who got removed from the garden because of their sin. They tried to cover themselves, but and tried to hide from God, hide their sin from God, but God knew it. He knew it all the while. And then Cain goes and murders his brother. But later on, in chapter 4, 25 to 26, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and called his name Seth. For she said, God has appointed for me another offspring instead of Abel, for Cain killed him. 26, to Seth also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord. So God blessed them again, but we know that God cursed Cain, but Cain then as well dispersed, and many come from Cain's line as well. Not only did Adam have Seth, but he had other sons and daughters. You can read in Genesis 5:4. But Seth is the line that I want to follow. I'm sure many of you probably already know the point that I'm trying to get to, but Seth is the line that I would like to follow first. So I'm going to shorten it down again. And Jared, he fathered Enoch. And Enoch walked with God. And you can see that in Genesis chapter 5, a little further on, where it says in verse 18, when Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. And then you can see a little later on where it says in 22, Enoch walked with God, and after he fathered Methuselah, he lived 300 years and had other sons and daughters. And then on from there, we go to Lamech in verse 28 and had lived 182 years and he had fathered a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord had cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from our painful toil of our hands. So from Lamech then comes Noah. Then Genesis 6, 7 to 8, we'll read that as well. So the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. I love in verse 9 what it says here. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation, and Noah walked with God. The Lord will blot out man and animals because of man's own wickedness. But Noah, as I said, found favor in God's eyes. And then we know God instructs Noah to build an ark. Chapter 7, then, Noah and his family and his entire family enter the ark, which is eight people that go on. So there is male and female of animals that were sent and that God told specifically how that was to happen and what was to happen for Noah to build the ark and then for the animals to enter, male and female, so that they could procreate after the world was destroyed, as well with Noah and his family and his son's wives. Chapter 7, Noah and his family enter the ark along with male and female animals. Then after the flood, God makes a covenant. So now we're going to flip to Genesis 9. I'm sure you've heard this story many times, maybe in Sunday school, or you've read it to your own kids or your grandkids. But it says, behold, I have established my covenant with you and your offspring after you. And this is after the flood now. So the flood, the waters subside. And with every living creature that is with you, the birds of livestock and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. Verse 13, I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and the flesh and all flesh that is on the earth. There is joy in this. There come darkness when all was destroyed other than eight people and two of animals as well, male, female of each animal. But there was darkness, as we sang earlier, darkness. And there is hope at the end of that darkness, though. There is darkness that comes, the waters, 40 days, 40 nights, and the waters cover the lands. because God caused it to happen. God said that he would destroy all living creatures other than those eight and every other animal that went onto the ark. And God then made a covenant with man and with every living thing that he would not destroy the earth in such a way. But we do know with the second coming that he will come and he will destroy the earth by fire. So Genesis is even a little bit of a picture of that second coming happening, how God will destroy. But all those who believe, because Noah believed in God, he found favor with God. He was righteous before God because of God. And we too, because we have found God and have believed in him, have hoped in him, and have peace in him, and have joy in him, have an eternal glory that awaits us when that second coming comes, when God will destroy all. And all those who are wicked will enter hell for eternity, burning fire for eternity. And we who have believed will enter the glory of God for all eternity with a new heaven and a new earth. So there's darkness that comes, but there's always a light that is there within the darkness, because darkness cannot stand or withstand the light, who is Christ. So I love Genesis. When you just start reading through it, the stories, it's just, anyways, I always find it exciting. But we need to believe what this is saying, that this is true, that this is true fact. I don't know if you know in history, there's different things that go through different places in the world. And there's kind of a Noah story that has been changed. But I know there was one with a canoe. There was a bunch of people that got onto a canoe and lived, and there was a flood. But there's different stories that have gone around. But this is factual story, truthful story right here. That we have within our scriptures. So he put a bow. And when we see the rainbow too, we can be reminded of the covenant that God made with Noah. Then Shem and Ham and Japheth then come about, which they did when they walked off the ark. But they then multiply. Now, again, to keep this short, Genesis 9:26. Noah blesses his sons. Gave a blessing to his son. I don't know how much of a blessing some of them were when you read through some of it, but it was from Noah to his sons. And in 9:26, he also said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant." The thing that I want to focus on right here is where it says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem." So the point I'm going to be getting to is Abraham comes from this line. But blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. So when Noah said this, he was saying God who is blessed. Noah blessed the Lord God of Shem. He did not bless Shem because of all the glory. So because all the glory for the seed to come. So let me repeat that. He gave a blessing to them. But when he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem," it was about God and how it is God who is blessed. And God then gives a blessing to us when we know that the seed is Christ. Now in saying that, then from Ham came Canaan, where it says right here, "And let Canaan be a servant," in verse 26. Then Ham, this is Canaan was from Ham, the line of Cain, Canaan, come from Ham, the other brother, which was the Canaanite people. Then Japheth was to be enlarged, as we read in here too, in 26 and 27. Japheth was to be enlarged. This was likely then to be the Gentile nation, which we are included with. Now from Shem and down through the lines, then comes Terah, and then Terah fathered Abraham. So now I'm going to jump ahead again. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And if you want to read yourselves before that, Genesis 11, 31, you see Terah took Abraham. And then further on before that, you can go back for yourselves and read and study. But in chapter 12, verses 1, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God chose Abraham. Abraham did nothing in order to be chosen by God. And then from Abraham, the Hebrew people come, the line of the Hebrew people come, and all the blessings and the promises that are given to the Hebrew people. But the one thing is that the Hebrew people were supposed to bring a light to the Gentiles. And that light has now come. So we light these candles in reminder of the light that did come, who was Christ, and that light now is with God in the heavens. And that light is returning, who is Christ. And our joy is in him, because our joy comes from him, because we wouldn't have joy if it wasn't for him, and if it wasn't for the peace that God gave to us, and if it wasn't for the hope in him, we wouldn't have any joy to be joyous about. And we wouldn't want to rejoice because we wouldn't know what to rejoice about. Now, I want to say this again. Now, Abraham is chosen by God to leave his country, and the Lord will make a great nation and bless and make his name great. Then Genesis 12:3, which I just read to you, which I want to make note of. This is an important part here. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now I want to flip with all of you. Let's turn to Galatians 3:8-9. We should have did slower drills to see who got there the fastest. Galatians 3:8-9. It took me a bit that time. I want to read it with you. Join me. And the scripture, actually verse 7 I want to read as well. Now then, that is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, who if we've believed, we are put into this. Verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. Just listen to the words of this. Preach the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. Verse 9, so then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Those who have faith are blessed. Because Abraham. As you go through the New Testament, you're going to see Abraham brought up more than once. You're going to see those of old brought up more than once. It's always there because it's good for us to look at, for us to understand how we have the faith that we have come first to the Jew, come to the Hebrew people. And we are blessed that God chose them, that then it would come through the line of Abraham, and then Christ himself would be born, the seed. But Galatians 3:16 is the verse I want to look at here as well. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings. Maybe you've heard this before, but it says, and to offsprings, referring to many. So I'm going to read that again. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. So it's all pointing to Christ. It was all about the Christ. It was all about the Savior that was to come to make right what was made wrong in the beginning by Adam and Eve. Man plunges into death, into sin, and we needed a redeemer. They were first covered, which was a picture when God covered them with skins from an animal. He first killed that animal, first time of a killing of an animal, covering them. And then we have Christ, who then becomes our covering when we believe in him because of the work of Abraham. So then we are blessed like Abraham is blessed because Abraham had faith. He believed in God, and we too can believe in God. And Abraham wasn't perfect in everything he did either. I just want to say that as well. And God chooses many people who are, he chooses all people who are not perfect. So we can rejoice in knowing that as well, because he then makes us right in him. And then we have trials that we must endure through. We have many pains and sorrows that we'll go through, but our hope and our peace is in him, and our rejoicing is then in him, because we know that our joy comes from him, and then we are able to endure through the trials which will come as believers. So if we believe in Christ, we are justified by faith, Galatians 3:24. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. So the law was written so that we then in return come to it, and we see that we are sinners, and we see that we're lost, and that we can then see that we're justified and made right through the work of Christ. And this Advent, we're remembering the Christ that come, and then we're remembering the Christ that is going to come again because of his death and resurrection. It is reminders. We need to have these reminders in our lives because they're beneficial spiritually for us. Because sometimes we can just keep going and slowly forget about the things that we once come from. Just like Israel did. They forgot about how God chose them. And then they boasted in their glory with the blessings that God gave to them. And they presented their blessings in front of them instead of presenting the light of Christ to the nations. And they boasted in themselves instead of boasting in God. There is boasting that is right boasting, and it's boasting in the glory of God. And we can do that boasting in the glory of God and have confidence because of the work now of Christ. So now we have received adoptions as sons and daughters, and we are glorified in God. Galatians 4:4-6, I want to read as well. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, as well daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So we can rejoice because we have been redeemed through, again, I say again, the work of Christ. So now, the Christ. Not only is joy found in him, but our joy comes from him. I want to turn with you to Matthew 1:1-2. And then we'll see the genealogies again. Matthew 1:1-2. And the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and then all the generations. And then I want to jump right down to verse 16, which says, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. I want to read that again. And Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. But Joseph was not with Mary, as we always know, or as we always hear, the Virgin Mary. He was not with her because the Spirit then imparted within her the Christ. And then it says, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. And then all genealogies of Christ, all the genealogies of Christ from Abraham on, we can see another again in Matthew that's presented there for us. But it started through Abraham that the blessing was given to. There was one who was to come, and those before that, Noah, and then as well, those before that, Adam and Eve, they had to hope in the one who was to come, and the blessing then was used and brought to us through Abraham. So through Abraham, Christ was to come from the Virgin Mary, as I said. Now, Turn with me to Luke 1:48. Find it good when we can just flip to the scriptures together. Luke 1:48 says, and this is Mary's song, her joyous song that she sings. And it says in verse 1:48, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. She bore the Christ, gave birth to the Christ, but all generations will call her blessed. But it's not to focus on her as anything. She is something. But the focus is then brought to the seed that come through her. That's what it was all about, was the seed that was to come. And all generations would call her blessed because of that. And then in verse 55, it says, and he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months. This is when she was with Elizabeth. But she sang a joyous song because she knew and believed and had faith in God and the work that he was going to do through her by her giving birth to our Redeemer. And all generations would call her blessed. And then Luke 2:10, it says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. All people. Our joy is in him. And our joy is from him. Not only is our joy found in him, but our joy comes from him. I hope you can see the joy that is in him. And I hope you can see that there is only joy, true joy, through him. Charles Spurgeon stated, there was that ancient promise made on the threshold of Eden to the first sinners of our race, that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head, another promise made to the father of the faithful, that in this seed should all the nations of the earth be blessed, and promises uttered by the mouths of prophets and of saints since the world began. Amen. So now when we hope, and remember our hope is out of this world, we hope in God, knowing the fullness of our joy can be found in the Father through the birth and death and resurrection of his Son. And what comes from the gospel will produce in each of us obedience, and this productive obedience produces joyful obedience. And the grace of God gives us joy with God, and joy with God enables us to produce joy amidst our suffering. Because of the joy found in Christ, we rejoice knowing that what the productive outcome of those who have been justified by Christ produce. And then that production is endurance, character, and character hope. But remember what one of the fruits of the Spirit are. Does anyone remember what one of the fruits of the Spirit are? Joy. Yeah. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. So we have joy and peace given to us by the Spirit of God. Amen. And we can rejoice in that. I found this quote online. It says, as the Holy Spirit works in us to bear more fruit, so there is a work, it's not just the joy and peace, there's more to it too, right? As the Holy Spirit works in us to bear more fruit, we become confident in God's promises and rejoice in our walk with him and with other believers. So as the Holy Spirit works in us to bear more fruit, we become confident in God's promises and rejoice in our walk with him and with other believers. So I want to read again Romans 8. Sorry, no, not 8, 5. Romans 5, verses 3. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And as Warren Wiersbe said, and I've used this quote lots, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Experiences will prove our belief. They'll prove what we believe in. When we go through trials, they will prove what we believe. What we really believe comes out in us through our trials. I want to read to you Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I did that for one of our benedictions last time. I think it was last time or the time before. But we will abound in hope when we know that our joy is in Him, and we will have confidence in Him as we endure through trials. I'm not saying that the trials are ever easy that we go through. They're not. I know Charlie brought up situations with different ones passing away, different ones going through trials right now at this very moment. And the trials are not easy, but we have a joy because we rejoice in the kingdom that awaits us. I can't remind us enough of that, and I can't remind myself enough of that, and I need to remind myself of that more and more each day. I need to remind myself of the gospel. We need to do the same too, and that's why we need to study the scriptures, because we're feeding that spirit man that lives within us. So four things that rob us of joy can be our circumstances or people or things or worry. So this Advent and from now on, don't let yourself be robbed of the joy that has been given to you in Christ. It is yours in Christ. When you have believed in Him, when you have faith in Him, you have become an heir of a king. This is something that we can rejoice about. One last thing in closing. Our joy this Advent can be in knowing that the sting of death no longer holds us, because Jesus has crushed Satan's head under His foot through His birth, death, and resurrection. We who have believed in Christ have confident joy, knowing that instead of being bound in sin and death for eternity, we have been bound to eternal life through Christ, which gives us hope and peace and joy of the day when we will be in the presence of God's glory forever. Don't be afraid to let God build your character this Advent season and from now on. Let's pray, and then we'll sing together. Father, I thank You for the scriptures that we can flip through together, and that we can do it in this setting and in this way. I thank You that You have given us peace in our country in such a way as this. And I ask that the hope that we have been given, and the peace that we have been given, and the joy that we have been given, that we will share that with those in our community and in the world at large, in whatever way you give us to do so. That we would stand confident in You, and that we would share the light with all the world, because You have been so gracious to send Your Son for us. So I thank You for everyone again that was here, and everyone that was here today. I ask that they be blessed by You. And if anyone is here today that does not know You, that they would know that they can come to You, and they can repent, and they can believe in Christ who went to the cross to die for their sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one last song, and then I'll do our benediction.
Please stand with us.
Come, thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our sears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone, by thine own sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne.
Our benediction is from 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Yes. Amen.
Just a reminder for the Christmas choir singers to come to the front right away. This is our last practice. Come to the front right away, please.